T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Must be the maestro Dan Day on the other side of the glass, as he turns around audio clips quicker than anybody I've met before. Good stuff there. As we continue on here, filling in for Hawk and Crowder on this Friday afternoon. We hope everybody is doing well, getting ready for the weekend. As, man, who knows? I am not going to say that we're going to have any less fireworks in the NBA, because this league has proven, and this offseason has proven, that once you thought everything was done, something else pops up. So who knows what could potentially occur. But the bottom line is, we've got a lot to get into, and we will continue to do so between now and 6 o'clock here on QAM. If you want to join us, you can do so via the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22. 560-22 is how you reach us. You mentioned earlier, Brian, you know, you've been monitoring Twitter, and you had a Woj water balloon, you described it as.
Water balloon.
Tyson Chandler agreeing to join the Rockets.
Yep.
Then you said that there was also some news from Adam Schefter, and then we found it from all the NFL insiders that Chris Herndon, unfortunately, he was saying this about Chris Herndon because he's a former Canes player, but he's been suspended 4 games, although, as you just told me during the break, he is appealing the suspension, so yep. Perhaps he gets that reduced to 2 games, because that's customary for an alcohol-related issue. We have another suspension that has come down, and Adam Schefter tweeted this 3 minutes ago. Raiders offensive guard Richie Incognito suspended 2 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. So Richie, who's been out of football for a little while, finally gets back. The Raiders giving him a chance. So I don't know if this is something that they've been holding on to because he's had a ton of off-the-field issues.
Yeah, a little bit.
Or if this is something new. But the bottom line is, Incognito, you know, doesn't feel like he's been back in the NFL for very long, and he's already been suspended for 2 games.
Yeah, they're just sitting on it, just waiting for him to sign with somebody, and then, hey, here you go, buddy. Take that paper right there.
Do you like how this works, Brian, where it feels that this is, in typical NFL fashion, they wait for a Friday late afternoon to announce these things, like the typical, what they describe as a typical Friday afternoon news dump, where, you know, everybody's getting ready for the weekend. Some people may already have left work, and they're focused on whatever they're going to do for their fun and their time off. And, you know, some media members, it's like, yeah, you'll talk about it. If it happens on, like, a Tuesday, then we could talk about it all week, right, if depending on how big the story is. But on a Friday, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, there's less programming related to the talking heads on ESPN or FS1 or even local radio or national radio. Like, they love to do this, where the suspensions – almost always seem to be announced on a Friday afternoon, where there's less opportunity for it to turn into like a snowball story. Of a big story.
They try to just sweep it under the, you know, the rug, make sure, no, okay, this one's suspended. Eh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. We talked about it. Cool. Moving on. And everyone forgets about it. So, yeah, I mean, everything's a strategic, and they're smart with what they do. They don't want to do it on a Monday, then all of a sudden everyone's talking about it. But a Friday, 4 o'clock, 3:30. Like you said, most people might be gone. Some people already had happy hour. They don't care.
Right.
They really don't.
Oh, they check their phone incognito. Okay, yeah, let's get another drink.
Yep, yeah, that's
okay.
It.
By the way, we got here some insight into this. So Tom Pelissero from NFL Network says the NFL has suspended Raiders guard Richie Incognito 2 games for violating the personal conduct policy. General manager Mike Mayock was aware of likely discipline for a pair of incidents last year before signing Incognito to a 1-year deal, and has said they'll help him help himself. Specifically, the suspension is for the incident at a funeral home last August, I'm told. Incognito eligible to return for week 3 against the Vikings. Okay. So, yeah, that was a very strange. There's been a lot of unique, peculiar incidents that have happened with Richie Incognito off the field during his career and on the field, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But that funeral home one was very strange as well. So, anyway, that explains it. So the Raiders, it sounds like they knew this was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not a huge surprise. We just finally get this news now today. I don't know why it would take so long. Like, if they've known about this since last August, Isn't this one of those situations, the moment he officially signs with the team?
No, man. No one's talking about the NFL right now. So they need to keep go ahead and dropping little things to make sure they stay relevant throughout the offseason. This gets you going towards training camp, which is going to open up here in 2 to 3 weeks. And now people are still talking about the NFL.
That's true, but...
That's the only reason why they do it.
But is this the Jerry Jones type of talk about the NFL that we're discussing? Because it's like any publicity is good publicity or any PR is good PR?
Yeah.
Because I would imagine the NFL would prefer us talking about something other than a substance abuse-related suspension and a personal conduct-related suspension.
Okay, let's talk about Josh Rumer jumping over bulls in Spain.
There you go.
You know he got a phone call, moron.
How quickly did he get the phone call?
What? Like, as soon as that video hit the net. As soon as it hit the net, player personnel gave him a call.
I mean, I'm just literally shaking my head.
First call had been to the agent, because obviously Josh probably didn't pick up.
What the bleep is going on?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Now do the NFL have to write in contracts? No running with the bulls or jumping over large animals.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's customary. Like, we don't want you to be skiing or snowboarding or skydiving or...
Skiing, snowboarding, skydiving. Motorcycles are on there. I believe sometimes they put in people's pickup basketball.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And, you know, there's other things they write in there. Like, listen, hey, you're a product. Like, we need to protect our product. I think that bull could actually end your career.
Do us a favor. Stay away from Pamplona and do not run with the bulls.
That's it. Add that in there.
Oh, my gosh. You just never know. You just never know.
And I can't even use my customary line with something like that.
What's that?
White people. I can't even use my customary line.
That's your customary line?
For stuff jumping over a bull?
Yeah.
Listen, my black half would be like, yeah, Monroe, we're not going to the white side right now.
Well, what is the, is it, I don't know. I've never run with the bulls.
I haven't, but I showed you a video. My buddy is actually there right now doing the same thing.
So what is the, is it normally just the folks in Spain who do it? Like the locals, they decide to do it? But it seems like people from all over the world.
Yeah, now everybody goes through the world to do it. And I mean, he showed me a video, he sent it to me where he's literally running down the street and there is a 600-pound bull like 5 feet away from him. I'm like, heck no. And then I guess when you get into that arena, then you can go down there with him if you want to be that idiot.
Because that's where we saw Josh Norman. He's literally
in the arena.
In the arena. There's a bunch of these clowns running around the bull. The bull's like looking for his next target.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Norman, who's a great athlete, obviously, hurdled the bull.
Hurdles the bull.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
It was a locals thing years ago until Ernest Hemingway wrote about it in The Sun Also Rises, and then all of a sudden it became a global phenomenon, and now people want to go get gored by bulls and just all that crazy. Jump over, but luckily, if you're lucky, jump over bulls. And you can't say white people, because if Josh Norman was white, he wouldn't have had enough hops to get over that bull.
Yeah, you're right about that. He would have hit the face of that. No, it's because it's funny, because my buddy over there is Cuban. But he looks more like he could be my mom's son, because he's like a redheaded Cuban.
Mm.
And then his mom, whenever we get together, I look more like her because she's a little bit darker skin, tan, like me. And I text him back. I said, white people, bro. Can't believe you had to run in there with your girl and stuff like that. Y'all are crazy.
I don't know what's more impressive, that like your buddy survived, right?
Mm.
Or that Dan just dropped an Ernest Hemingway reference.
I was going to say,
show,
man,
right?
Dropping like, knowledge over here.
That's
man.
My book right there, The Sun
Shoot.
Also Rises.
There we go.
I haven't even read that.
Yeah, we were all just nodding like, yeah, okay, yeah. It wasn't in Sports Illustrated. I didn't read it. Yeah.
While they were doing that, you would have catch me eating my tapas and having my sangria watching these idiots jump over bulls. That's what I would have been doing.
You're watching on TV while everybody's
Well, no, if I was there, I'd be in the arena, but I would be eating my tapas. And I would have some sangria just chilling, kicking my feet up, cheering on the bulls. Get him, gorge him, please. Dang.
Man, that's, you could not convince me to do that. All right, so I mentioned Hassan Whiteside. He has landed in Portland.
He should go run with the bulls.
And you ready to hear some of the quotes from Whiteside as he was
please.
Introduced yesterday in a press conference with the Portland Trailblazers. It was held at the the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas. So this was happening in Las Vegas because that's where all the NBA teams are with the summer league going on. Whiteside said this in reference to Portland. Quote, a perfect situation. You ever been on a beach just chilling and drinking a nice water, looking out at the sunset? That's how I feel. End quote.
Well,
I started to read this, and when I was reading it this morning, and I saw the first part. You ever been on a beach just chilling and drinking? And so I'm thinking drinking a number of different types of beverages that come to mind, but water wasn't one of them.
I'm thinking he's giving the PC answer for his new team.
But I'm actually impressed by Hassan Whiteside having the wherewithal to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he doesn't strike me as the type of guy that is, you know, censors himself. He just kind of speaks his mind for good and for bad. But yeah, so he's just chilling and drinking. But like, I found this hilarious. Like, he has had more than a week to determine how he wants to present himself to open his time with the Portland Trailblazers. And so inevitably you're going to get questions like, how does it feel to be a Trailblazer? You know, what's your reaction to the trade? All this other stuff. So he's had over a week to figure this out. He goes from a place here in South Florida where the beach is prevalent, and he lived near the beach and lived on the water. If you ever saw some of the shows that, you know, happened at his place and
tanked stuff.
Yeah, he was right there on the Intercoastal. But it's like, this is where you talk about the beach analogy. You go to Portland, you got to come up with something else. Like, you just left the beach. Now you're describing going to Portland and saying, oh, it's just like being on the beach. It's like, no, it's not.
No, you ain't going to no beaches in Portland.
That doesn't make any sense. That isn't applicable here.
Isn't he maybe trolling Miami fans a little bit?
I don't think so.
You really can't troll Miami fans since you're going to the Northwest where it's raining and gloomy and we're sitting here on yachts on December.
Yeah, I don't know if Whiteside, like, how do I say this delicately? I don't know if he's clever enough to troll
I was going to say the same thing.
Like, Dan, if it were somebody else, I'd say, yeah, you know what? You may have a point there. Maybe it's some kind of backwards way where he's taking a shot at our community and what we're accustomed to. With Whiteside, I think he was like, oh, I got a press conference today? Like, he hadn't even thought anything about it. He goes, this is just like being on the beach.
It's God.
That's what struck me. Now, I gave him credit, though, for this, because he actually, the rest of his press conference, I thought he kind of took the high road. He didn't take any shots at the Miami Heat organization, anything like that. He was asked about why he left the organization and whether it was on bad terms. And so he says, quote, I don't think there was anything, anybody that was around me in the locker room, my teammates and all that. It was a great environment for us. I was there for 6 years. We definitely had our ups and downs through 6 years, but I think it was definitely more good than bad. I can still call anybody today, Pat, Coach, any of them, and we'll still laugh it up. I don't really think it was a problem because if it was that big of a problem, I wouldn't have been there that long, end quote.
No. You wouldn't have been there that long if they didn't give you that contract and they could have shipped your butt years ago. And by the way, you know what's a perfect dream situation? Signing a $100 million contract in Miami to become the man. That is a perfect situation. You're leaving a perfect situation. Mr., I'm going to bounce around all these different teams and finally somebody gives an opportunity and you don't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
You become lazy. Why aren't they giving me the ball? Because you're lazy. You don't pass. Shooters, I got shooters. You had shooters. You bum.
We got another quote from Whiteside. He says, what makes me excited is just the movement and just how they did in these last couple of years going to the Western Conference Finals. And they've got two guys that you got to guard when they get out of their car in the parking lot. You got to pick them up as soon as they get out of the car. Those guys are big-time shooters, end quote.
Man.
We got shooters! They're shooting! We got shooters! We got shooters! Let's go!
I wonder what he calls D-Wade then if he's not a player.
Mm. Well?
Because, you know, it's kind of tough to say that either Damian or CJ are going to have a better career than Mr. Wade.
Correct. Yeah, I think that's
fair to say, right?
Fair assessment.
That's a fair assessment.
Yeah, and Lillard is closer than McCollum at this point.
At this point, but I don't think he's ever going to reach that. But oh, now you got shooters though. But what was Wade? Chop liver? You just chop liver sitting playing with you? Problem is that you don't pass the ball from the post. That's why your shooters can't shoot.
Hassan Whiteside, as we've mentioned on shows past, career average.
Tell him
0.6 assists per game. That's 0.6 assists per game, career average. We also have another quote from him. He says, quote, I don't think anything bad happened in Miami. I just feel this was a better fit. This was a better fit for me. I feel like Miami felt the same way, end quote. And I think that's exactly right. Like, he hit it on the head there.
Yeah, but what is this whole I chose the situation? You didn't choose anything.
He didn't choose.
You got traded.
Although, Blazers president of basketball operations, Neil Olshey, spoke about Hassan Whiteside and said he was the team's primary free agent target in the summer of 2016 and called him, quote, an all-star caliber center and defensive player of the year candidate, end quote. So it's amazing, right? This is how it works. Doesn't matter the sport, but when these transactions and these trades take place, this is the way it always goes. So everybody in Miami is like, good riddance. Don't let the door hit you when you walk out. We can't wait to move on from you and see what this new version of the Heat looks like without your albatross of a contract and the lack of effort on the floor combining to really weigh down the organization. And then in Portland, they're acting as if this is a big-time pickup that's going to take them over the top and get them into the NBA Finals. This is how they're spinning it there, whereas in Miami, we can't wait to see him play for another team.
But I think in their situation, it's correct, right? Even with the Josh Richardson situation, you know, we were trying to force these young men to be the one and two and to lead this team to a championship. Now they go into the ideal situation where they are 3, 4, and 5, 5, 6, 7 on their team. So all we're asking to do, listen, again, you got shooters. All you need to do over there is rebound and hustle. I don't want you to do nothing else. You're going to get some points here and there just from rebounds alone, but you don't need to score. You're going to come off the bench. You're going to nurse some breather. So it's a perfect situation because if you look, their GM sitting there going, yeah, back in the day, he was one of the top free agents because he's a 7-footer. He is athletic. He was putting up points. He was putting up blocks. He was putting up rebounds. Oh, this is great. We love it. But when you became the man, you didn't take that next step to become elite like they paid you to be. You got comfortable. You didn't hustle, then you start fighting and pouting and not being a true leader. Now, I can take that same talent. I don't need you to be leader. You should be mature now going through everything you want. And if you're not mature, don't worry. We'll keep you on the bench. We got somebody ahead of you. So, of course, a GM should say that.
Well, yeah, they're going to say it. They're going to put a positive spin on things. I do think that he is going to put up nice numbers there.
Of course, because most of the times now he's going to play against the twos when the other ones in the West are going to be out tired. And he can just come in. The guys are going to shoot. He's going to collect all the rebounds and all the putbacks. It's perfect for him.
I think it's going to work out well for him. But
if he was down, okay, look, again, hypothetically, let's just say this. Let's say Whiteside was on the team with LeBron, Bosh, and Wade. It would have been a perfect situation for him then, too, because you were coming off the bench after Bosh. We're not asking you to do much. Collect rebounds, get blocks, and get your putbacks. That'd be great. But we're also not paying you $100 million.
Well, so that's the other part of it. So, again, we saw the best in Hassan Whiteside. I want to be fair to Whiteside because the year after he signed the contract, he actually had a really, really good season.
Yeah.
But in theory, and really what we saw from him is that the motivating factor, and we see this a lot of guys, the contract year when you're trying to get that big lucrative contract that can set you up for life, we see some of the best basketball, football, hockey, baseball from, it doesn't matter the sport. Yep. That's just the nature of certain human beings. So with Whiteside, in your scenario, if he's not making the huge deal and isn't the highest paid guy and he's playing with talented players, then one, he'd know his role because it would be very defined for him. And two, he'd still be working his butt off because he's aspiring to get that reward at the end of the day to you know, the payoff, so to speak, for all the hard work he's put in and the production he's got on the court. So, yeah, I do think, though, that like when you consider that this is a contract year for him again, expiring deal, and he's now going to be on a very good team, I think we're going to see a different Hassan Whiteside. And to be fair to him, though, like this is the only thing I'll say, is that, yes, he had those maddening times in his career in which he did not play hard. And that inconsistency is inexcusable, especially for a guy making that much money. But when he was playing hard and they were giving him the minutes and they were utilizing him the way that I think you anticipate you'd use a guy that you give a $98 million contract to, he was pretty productive. He was productive in terms of putting up nice numbers. But to your point, you could argue he wasn't good at getting the teammates involved and wasn't a well-rounded player in that regard.
Yeah, so, and if you're the highest paid guy, you have to be that dude. Like, you have to be the guy to pick everybody up. You have to be that guy to call people and say, hey, let's go do some extra shooting. Let's go do some extra conditioning. Like, we need to be great. Let's be great together. He ain't that dude. Come on, man. He ain't that
guy. Well, yeah, in fairness, he'd call guys and say, hey, you want to go to the zoo or you want to look at my fish tank? Or
great.
You
wanna... Appreciate that. That's what I want from a $100 million man. And then pout like, oh, God. Listen, I know a lot of the Heat fans are happy to see him go. And to me, he would be a great piece if he wasn't, you weren't trying to force him to be that guy. If he could just be a role player, I think he'd be an excellent piece to any team, like he's going to be with the Blazers. But try to force him to be your number one, to be the guy to lead you, it's just not in him. You can't force a guy to be a leader. A leader is you're born with those genes. You're not taught.
That's typically an innate ability that you have.
Yeah.
And it's not something that you develop necessarily.
No. And then there's different leaders. Some are vocal. Some are, you know, with my actions, my hard work, my play.
We have a lot of people chiming in about Hassan Whiteside, as you can imagine. We'll come back. We'll read some of those texts. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22, 560-22. Plus, during this hour, I also want to examine how will James Harden and Russell Westbrook fit together in Houston. Stay tuned. Much more basketball talk to come here on QAM. Radio.com. Radio.com.
Should I? All my worst nights are the good kind. High life filtered through the lo-fi. Starting it up after dark.
We're back here on 560 WQAM. A very good Friday afternoon, everyone. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe in for Hawk and Crowder. Dan Day on the other side of the glass as we'll take you up until 6 o'clock. We've got a lot of people. Man, people chiming in on the text line about Hassan Whiteside. I mean, I feel like you're getting more texts about Hassan Whiteside than, you know, the Russell Westbrook trade from earlier when we were having that conversation, which we'll get more into that. Of course, that's the big news from last night into today. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22 is how you reach us. We do have, going back a little bit, somebody is providing some perspective on, I think it's our buddy Frank. He says, on the running of the Bulls, says, Greg, they said during the whole 10-day festival in Pamplona, Spain, over a million tourists go to see the running of the Bulls.
Sheesh.
Okay. And somebody else says they do it for about a month in the arena. They've got the big boy Bulls that run, and then they release the baby Bulls for the public, which is what Norman did. Ah, okay.
Yeah, that baby Bull was still big.
Still pretty big.
How about that?
Yeah. Somebody else says for Whiteside, if you hear the interview, you can tell he caught himself and he said water. Was about to say something else. And somebody else says Whiteside isn't clever enough to think of
a
way to troll Miami, basically.
Again, he's of age. He's in the offseason.
Like, it wouldn't have been a big deal if he said, yeah, sitting on the beach and having a margarita or something, right? Or a beer.
For Whiteside, he probably does order skinny girl margaritas at the bar. I'm just saying.
Somebody says, we got a wide variety of responses to this because somebody says, this guy is such a clown. Thank God he's gone. Meanwhile, we have somebody else that says, every time he opens his mouth, it causes this feeling of disappointment in myself that he makes more money than I do.
I think a lot of people have that feeling. But we weren't all born 7-footers, so
yep. Yeah. There's some genetics involved there. Somebody says they did not use him right in Miami. Somebody else says, did Whiteside also quote Ernest Hemingway? Or was that just Dan Day?
Does he even know who Ernest Hemingway is?
I have a thought on that. I'm going to keep it to myself.
Okay. All right.
Somebody says, lazy. Come on, bro. Whiteside did his job on that team better than anyone. We'll miss his rebounding.
Are you being facetious?
It doesn't sound like it. This is a text that came in. Somebody else says, wait, Whiteside will get all the rebounds and points and blocks versus the twos. He got all the rebounds and blocks against the ones in Miami, but only 23 minutes. So I'm telling you, we got some people who like ripping Whiteside. And we have some people who are avidly defending Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Defend his contract. How about that?
Somebody says, dude, quit spewing that hate. Hassan averaged less than 10 shots a game for the entire 5 years he was here. He averaged a double-double every year here. Another says, you guys are dead wrong. Let's see about this. He says he wasn't. Oh, man, he says, how about Eric wouldn't play him? They're talking about Spoelstra because he wasn't a Spo guy. That's what Pat paid him all that money so he can be the man. Wow. I'm telling you, we have like, it's a split decision here in terms of people supporting Hassan Whiteside leaving versus supporting what he did here with the Miami Heat.
Yeah, boy, I tell you what.
Anyway, how about we transition to something else? What do you think? Because it sounds like we don't have anything good to say. So it's one of those time old tales where you say, you know what? If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. All right. I want to talk about this Russell Westbrook, James Harden pairing in Houston. And a couple of different elements to this. First part is some perspective on the Chris Paul trade from, you know, because everybody's talking about Russell Westbrook going to Houston. Obviously, Houston shipped out Chris Paul. Listen to this, because I had forgotten the exact details. 2 years ago, the Rockets traded Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, and Montrezl Harrell, plus a first-round pick to the Clippers for Chris Paul.
Oh, my God.
Now they're trading 4 first-round picks to flip Paul for an arguably worse player with over $170 million left on his contract. This is from one of the writers that has chimed in on this. But like the first part is what I wanted to focus on. So we've discussed Paul George and Kawhi Leonard teaming up with a team that has depth. That depth is largely Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, Patrick Beverley.
Imagine if you're the Rockets and you had those guys with James Harden.
And more financial flexibility.
Yeah. You're talking about that depth coming off the bench? What is he, 3-time sixth man of the year, 2-time sixth man of the year?
Yeah, 3-time. And Harrell was a finalist for sixth man of the year. And
Patrick Beverley is the biggest nuisance in the league when it comes to defense.
Yes.
Wow.
Crazy.
Man.
Meanwhile, via ESPN stats and info, over the last 5 seasons, Russell Westbrook and James Harden rank first and second in usage rate. Now, Tom Haberstroh, who does excellent work, he's now with NBC Sports, he wrote about the fit for the Rockets. So I want to read a little bit of this. He says, it can't be overstated that the most three-point obsessed team in the NBA just traded for the worst high-volume three-point shooter ever. Westbrook's career 30.8% three-point field goal percentage is the worst in NBA history among the 110 players with at least 2,750 three-point attempts per basketballreference.com. One rival general manager called it a quote-unquote panic move by Houston, calling the pick-sweetened package too rich to send Oklahoma City's way. Last season, James Harden finished with 1,280 isolations and was the NBA's most efficient player in those situations, scoring 1.11 points per isolation, according to Synergy Tracking. The player that ranked last in isolation efficiency last season? Russell Westbrook. At just 0.75 points per player. So, as Haberstroh writes, Westbrook is inefficient playing fast and playing slow. D'Antoni certainly has his work cut out for him as the head coach. He also says Westbrook should find some easier pathways to the rim with Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker flanking him, but it is impossible to ignore the fact that Harden and Westbrook ranked number one and number two in turnovers last season. Meanwhile, Paul finished with half as many turnovers as Westbrook and remains one of the most efficient point guards ever. With Harden pounding the rock in isolations and pick-and-roll attacks, why guard Westbrook off the ball? Paul shot over 43% on catch-and-shoot three-pointers, while Westbrook made 31.9% in similar situations. So, there is numbers here, there's advanced numbers that would indicate that Chris Paul is a better complement to James Harden's style of play. Now, nobody right now is going to say that Chris Paul is a better player than Russell Westbrook. So Houston clearly is invested in the potential of Russell Westbrook just being more durable, a greater athlete, and bringing a different dynamic than what they've had with Chris Paul. But at the same time, the numbers fascinate me, Brian, because there is enough evidence here where you can make the argument that even though Chris Paul's on the decline, even though the durability issues are there, that his skill set is a better complement to James Harden.
See, I disagree with the skill set as being the complement because I felt like they fought and bickered more than James Harden and Russ did back in the day. And the reason why I think they're going to get a little bit along better is because they've known each other a long time and been boys off the court for a while. And I think they'll be more willing and open to listening to the other one. When you watch James Harden and Chris Paul, they're at each other's necks all the time. And whether that's, you know, disagreements on the play calling, disagreement on defense, however you want to say it, I believe Russ and James will be a little bit more open-minded to it. And then again, yes, the numbers are the numbers. Can't deny that. But just from watching the game, I mean, I'm taking Russ all day over Chris Paul. And to me, it's not even close, especially the age and the numbers and everything.
I'm the same way as you, but I thought the advanced numbers were interesting.
They are.
And the other part of this, which I haven't shared yet, CBSSports.com had this. Our buddy Brad Bakken, who came on the show yesterday, mm-hmm. in his article and in reacting to this, it says, for anyone arguing that Paul doesn't affect winning more than Westbrook, consider that our sports line projections, which are based on 10,000 neutral court simulations,
wow,
have the Thunder gaining almost 5 wins with Paul on the team rather than Westbrook. And their playoff chances go up almost 40%. So according to these projections, again, they're just projections,
yeah,
but 10,000 neutral court simulations, they have Oklahoma City, prior to the trade, winning 41.4 games. After the trade, 46.1. And their win percentage going up by 5.7%. Their playoff chances going up 37.1%. And their seed increasing by 2 in the Western Conference. So, again, he says numbers aren't everything and basketball isn't played inside a calculator, but that's notable. So, again, like, I think what is undeniable is what you said, that you can definitively say that Russell Westbrook's a better player than Chris Paul right now. But you can also look at this with a clear conscience and say, I don't know if that fit is going to work, considering the style that has been employed by Mike D'Antoni and James Harden. Like, we talked about it with the Jimmy Butler rumors. We talked about it with any rumor of a player going to Houston, saying, why would that player want to go and stand around and watch James Harden dribble out the clock and then force up a contested three-pointer? So Russell Westbrook, to his credit, I'll give him this. You look at what happened last year. He averaged about 22 points a game. He did not take as many shots. He still averaged the triple-double, but he deferred to Paul George to the point where Paul George was one of the three finalists for the MVP of the League Award. So I think he has seen the light to a certain degree. But the only thing is, if you watch the playoff series against the Portland Trailblazers, it's like all that went out the window, and he was force-feeding the ball to himself, in part, I think, because Paul George had the shoulder injury, but also because, like, Russell Westbrook, that's just who he is. He's aggressive to a fault. He takes some bad shots, and he, as we pointed out, he and Harden led the league in turnovers over the course of last season. So I'm fascinated by it. You could make an argument that Westbrook has absolutely understood he needs to adapt his game. He can defer to a certain degree because we saw it last season. But how far will that go? Like, yeah, how far is he willing to take it? I know we hear all this. They're friends. They wanted to do this, all this other stuff. But I don't know. We've heard this before, and it doesn't always work out the way everybody hopes it's going to.
Yeah, I could see it benefiting Harden because, just like you said, Paul George probably had his best statistical year for his career. And again, he was top three MVP voting. Anybody that's an outside shooter like Harden would love for Russell to come to the team and say, oh, he's going to take some of the pressure off of me as far as the double team or the extra defender. He can take it to the hoop, pop it out, then I can shoot. Now, the understanding is, how many times are you going to let me take the ball up the court and just do my thing?
Right.
That's going to be the understanding. But to me, that's the coach. Like, Mike D'Antoni, you got to be able to say, this is the game plan. This is how we're going to make it work. But if you can't do that, and he's showing that he can't do it, so what am I even saying that for? If you can't do that, then that's when you start to get the arguments. But if you get an understanding that if we play this style of ball, we can win. Because we talked about all the time, ISO ball does not win you, and it doesn't win you championships.
Right.
It's not going to take you all the way to the championship. So Harden also is going to understand that I need to let Russ take the ball up and play together with him more for us to take that next step. Because, hey, listen, that Wild Wild West ain't going to be no joke next year. It's going to be no joke. And by the way, you want to play the ISO ball against the Clippers? Good luck. Let me see what you're going to do against, oh, wait, Kawhi? Oh, shoot. Paul George? Oh, shoot. Like, what you going to do? You're going to have to get your teammates involved. You're going to have to. And luckily for them, they got some shooters still with the Rockets because they're able to keep Eric Gordon, Tucker, and now you bring in a Russell that's going to be off the ball and can drive. Like, you got some guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's going to be the coach that's got to say, this is how we're going to run our offense, and this is what we have to do to win and take that next step. It just can't be pure ISO. Can D'Antoni do that?
It's a great question.
I don't know.
I wish we had the NBA season starting up much sooner than we do.
Telling you.
I mean, my goodness. Can't wait to see all these different players coming together. By the way, just on that note, this NBA offseason has been nuts, right? I mean, we've been keeping track of it all. But how about this? In the last 23 days, I saw this last night, the following NBA players have changed teams just over the last 3 weeks or so. Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, Jimmy Butler, Mike Conley, Chris Paul, Al Horford, D'Angelo Russell. Also, 6 of the 15 members of the All-NBA teams have switched teams already this offseason.
It's kind of like that the D-Wade tweet after everything was happening yeah. where he talked about the jersey collection he has. He's like, no one's going to believe that I got all these jerseys and they played for those teams. I think it was 8 All-Star switch teams
yeah.
that he got jerseys that he swapped this last year.
So he's got throwbacks now.
He's got throwbacks. But hey, vintage, they're worth more money.
That's very true.
I know D-Wade, you don't need the extra change, but they're worth more money. You know, your kids later in life, they can sell them.
Brian, with all this in mind, certainly we have been monitoring the Chris Paul trade rumors. We have an update on that. When we come back, we'll tell you what the latest is on the Heat's potential interest in acquiring Chris Paul. Plus, we'll weigh in our opinions on that as well. Stay tuned here on QAM. We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe in for Hawk and Crowder. Dan Day on the other side of the glass playing the hits as we're taking up until 6 o'clock. By the way, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, Barry Jackson from the Miami Herald will join us as he is the source of our update on the Chris Paul trade scenario for the Miami Heat. Of course, those of you are listening probably aware, based on what happened last night, that in light of Russell Westbrook being traded to the Rockets in exchange for Chris Paul and some draft picks, now the Thunder are trying to turn Paul around and trade him somewhere else, and the team that keeps being brought up as a potential suitor, the Miami Heat. Now, with that being said, Barry Jackson has tweeted within the last 20 minutes or so, per league source, Heat doing due diligence on Chris Paul, but there is no aggressive pursuit on Heat's part, unlike the efforts to get Westbrook before his trade yesterday.
Yes.
Can we all breathe a sigh of relief for a second here, right? Because, like, weren't you getting a little concerned, Brian, yeah. that we would go from Westbrook and then all of a sudden Chris Paul, and it's like, why are the Heat keep being brought up? Like, are the Heat just dead set on making another splash,
yeah,
regardless of who it is?
Like, I would understand if it doesn't handcuff you for that 2021 class, but that's a breaking point for me.
Right, like if this is like if he's on a 2-year deal,
yes,
then that'd be different.
Then it'd be different. You can afford him and stuff like that. Cool, and you're not losing certain players for him. And I know I was different with Russ because I feel like Russ is a little bit younger, more explosive. But for him, if you don't have to lose any players, you can figure it out. Cool. But 3 years at that price, at his age, and you're handcuffed for that 2021 class, no. I don't want to touch it. I'd rather wait until another superstar wants to come here. Or 2021, we got cap space. We can go get some dudes.
Seriously. 2021, for those who are unaware, there is a roster plus of big names that are going to be available. The unrestricted free agent group, again, unless some of these guys sign extensions prior
yes.
to then. But right now, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Bradley Beal, CJ McCollum, Gordon Hayward, Victor Oladipo, Andre Drummond, Rudy Gobert. You've got a bunch of players who have player options and could become free agents, like LeBron James, Blake Griffin, Paul George, Jrue Holiday, Spencer Dinwiddie. Also, I believe Kawhi Leonard would be in there too, right? Because he just signed his 3-year deal and the third year would be the option.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, that is a ton of talent that becomes available in 2021. And what Brian is saying is accurate and on point. The Heat, if they trade for Chris Paul, they have no way of even being remotely close to having enough salary cap space to pursue any of these free agents. So, again, I suppose you could make the argument that, hey, you could do a sign and trade, like with Jimmy Butler and all this other stuff. But bottom line is, like this was a unique scenario this offseason. And if you are the Miami Heat and you have a couple of different choices, you have a choice to bring in a Chris Paul who's got 3 years, $124 million left on his deal, and he's going to be 34 once the season rolls around. You can do that and then absolutely restrict yourself from any flexibility moving forward, or you don't make that move. You have Jimmy Butler in tow. He is the lure to potentially get somebody else, and that does not preclude you from maybe next offseason going after a Bradley Beal if he's disgruntled, wants out of Washington, or somebody else that we're not even thinking of right now because that's the way the NBA works. Or, God forbid, you show a little more patience. You're still relevant because Butler is there. Tyler Hero hopefully develops. Bam Adebayo develops. Justice Winslow keeps getting better. And with that in mind, in 2021, open the floodgates and be a major player to get back to true relevancy and potentially being a contender, not just in the East, but maybe in the NBA with one of these big-name free agents. That's the way I would ideally look at this. But Chris Paul, I don't see how he fits into the equation whatsoever.
Not at that price and that age.
Yet we have all the national media talking about Chris Paul to the Miami Heat as a possibility.
Great. Let's let them talk to him the way they talked about Russ to the Miami Heat and then all of a sudden change tune and say, whoa, this was his number one choice, this team. If you could talk about it that way, I'm cool.
What would be the most obscure team that Chris Paul winds up on that we still say, oh, yeah, they'll still spin it, that this is his ideal choice and top team? Now, Oklahoma City would be in the equation, but he's not going to stay there.
No.
And, you know, he's probably not going to go to Memphis. But can you imagine, like, if he ends up with the Minnesota Timberwolves?
I got one that I heard earlier from one of the shows, the 76ers.
How would that work?
They said they would trade Ben Simmons for him.
What?
I swear to you, Chris Broussard brought this up to Colin Coward.
Wow.
Trading Chris Paul for Ben Simmons and some picks, and they both loved both of the deals.
Mm.
I said, wait, say what?
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a trade.
Wait, the same Broussard who said there was no way that Kawhi Leonard was going to go to the Clippers.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
That guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, his track record remains consistent.
Oh, he's
huh?
doing a great job. Doing a great job.
All right. Well, that's setting the table for you. We got a big 5 o'clock hour coming up. As I mentioned, Barry Jackson, who is on top of all of this, he's got the latest report now. He will join us, and he'll provide his perspective on everything Miami Heat as he's out with the Summer League. Plus, we can also talk about every sport here in town because he covers all of it. Plus, Brian, we're going to continue this conversation. So we'll kick off the 5 o'clock hour, reset the Westbrook, Harden, Paul, Heat news. There's so many angles to it. Stay tuned here on 560 WQAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.